There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Buck Ballou here with some great news. Nobody knows the real estate market up 400 and around Lake Lanier than my friend Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. You see, experience matters. If you've got an interest in Lake Lanier property or up 400 properties, go to GetMickey.com, click, and talk with an expert right now. Or call 678-341-7474. Mickey Himes is the man in the Lake Lanier real estate market. This is Buck Ballou. You can trust this dog and the entire GetMickey.com team.
An ambassador for the dogs and broadcasting live from Truist Park every day.
All day, every day.
It's time for Buck's Beat with Buck Ballou.
Welcome to Buck's Beat. Great to have you back for episode number 21. Buck's Beat is sponsored by Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. If you're interested or searching for a property at Lake Lanier, or looking for a home up 400, call Mickey at 678-341-7474. Or go to GetMickey.com, click, and speak with an expert. Experience and passion matter in real estate. Mickey and his team have both. Sellers hire Mickey. Buyers hire Mickey. How do I know so much about Mickey? Well, he's a personal friend who I've got a lot of respect for. All right, let's talk Braves baseball, and specifically Ronald Acuña Jr. Ronald Acuña Jr. just racked up home run number 100, and he did it at an amazing pace. 378 games, he hits number 100 for the 23-year-old outfielder, and that places Acuña in a very impressive top 10 youngest players to hit 100 home runs list. Ronnie jumps in at number 9 on the list at 23 years, 184 days old. Bryce Harper checks in at number 8. Albert Pujols is now number 10. By the way, Acuña knocks the great Henry Aaron out of the top 10. Hammer and Hank moves back to number 11. Andrew Jones is number 5 on this list, by the way. And it's been so much fun watching Acuña play the game at this early age, having this kind of success. The skill set, I don't know about you, but for me, it is so exciting, so athletic to watch this guy play the game. He can run fast, and he can hit it far. He can also gun you out trying to go first to third on a single, Pete Alonso. So quit trying, man. Ronnie's youthful enthusiasm also spills over. You can tell that he loves playing the game of baseball. Boys at the coffee shop this week were wondering, will Ronald Acuña Jr. hit 500 home runs in his career? Well, right now, at the pace that he's setting, obviously pretty much everybody would say, yeah, he's going to hit 500 home runs. Now, to do that, he's going to have to sustain this pace, and also he's going to have to be very consistent here. When he gets in his 30s, the DH should be a part of baseball, so that should help him out a little bit, something that Andrew Jones didn't have a few years ago. Look, my math tells me, this is the old math now, this isn't the new math, but follow me closely here. So Acuña right now has 101 home runs, and he's 23 years old. And the trend is that he's going to hit a home run every 3.78 games that he plays. Six more seasons in his 20s. So I'm going to set the number of 40 home runs per season during his 20s. So six more seasons, six times 40 would be 240. Add the 100 home runs that he's already hit, and we're talking about 340 home runs. So he would need 160 home runs in his 30s to reach 500. Now, this isn't automatic. Consider Andrew Jones' path in his 30s. He had a big dip in power once he turned 30 years old. He hit 26 in his final season here in Atlanta. That was the high that he had in his 30s, he only ended up hitting 92 home runs in his 30s. So Andrew finished his career with 434 home runs. Now, look, I would say this is not that disappointing when you consider that only 27 Major League Baseball players are in the 500 home run club. So a pretty exclusive group. Will Acuna join the 500 club or the 40-40 club for that matter? A lot of talk about these things. And my advice to you would be this. Don't worry or be concerned about that, about the future, about what looms out there once he turns 30 and gets deeper into his career. I would just say enjoy watching this kid play the game right now. One of the best, most exciting baseball players in the world today wears an Atlanta Braves uniform. And he's off to an amazing start in his career. On pace to hit 46 bombs this season. And he's going to be featured in the upcoming All-Star game. Enjoy it. 13 is something special. Now let's shift gears, talk a little Tennessee football. Let me bring on Tennessee Volunteer Insider Jason Swain.
Bucks beat.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Let's talk a little Tennessee Volunteer football now. Jason Swain, Vols insider and former Tennessee wide receiver, joins us. And appreciate the time, Jason. Let's dive right in here. How's the transition going with Pruitt outgoing and Heupel and his staff now firmly entrenched there in Knoxville?
Well, I mean, I think the team is settling in. I think Josh Heupel is bringing something that this program and these players needed. That was accountability. That was, you know, some team building activities and leadership training and things like that. Those are things that were missing from this football program for the last couple of years. So, you know, Heupel obviously was one of the last coaches hired in, you know, the cycle in the SEC. So he's trying to catch up from behind. So, but the most important thing for him was to make sure that accountability was number one inside of his program.
Sounds like a big-time culture change from what Pruitt was bringing to the table.
Yeah, you got to have it. I mean, anytime you go 3-7 in the SEC last year, and in some of those games, you look at the talent, and the talent is really not this much different. And in some cases, you have more, and you know, losing by double digits touchdowns, you deal with something more than just lack of talent. And lack of scheme, because you have really good coaches who have all been successful other stops in SEC. So it really came down to the call. I think that's why they're putting their focus on that right now at the program, because that's the biggest need.
You know, I was thinking when the hire was made, I thought this is a really good hire for Tennessee, and the quarterbacks, receivers, the fans should be really excited. That offense put us to sleep the last couple of years, and with what Coach Heupel's bringing to the table, this should be a really exciting style of play offensively for the Vols.
Well, you can't win games anymore in the SEC just, you know, playing good defense and, you know, having a good running back. You know, you got to have quarterback play. You got to be able to score points and put points on the board. I think some of the recent teams who won championships in the SEC have proven that. Clemson has proven that with, you know, how they carried themselves offensively the last couple of years. So, you know, Tennessee just had some poor quarterback play over the last couple of years. No one really stepped up after the departure of Josh Dobbs. So, you brought in someone that And that's what they're known for. Known for offense. Josh Heupel has had one of the best offenses in the country consistently for the last, you know, 5 years. And so that's exactly what Tennessee needs. When you look at the hires, it's probably the biggest hire in terms of a coach with a proven track record. And, you know, I go back to really Johnny Majors. Tennessee has not hired a proven head coach like a Josh Heupel since Johnny Majors. And so, you know, Heupel certainly is a good coach, but he certainly has his work cut out for him as well.
All right, his air raid system on offense, that scheme really depended on the quarterback. And so everyone wants to know, Jason, who's going to be the quarterback this season, just based on what you saw in the spring and what you're hearing right now?
Yeah, I mean, during the spring, I didn't see a guy. I saw a bunch of guys competing, which is probably why Tennessee went out and brought in Joe Milton, the Michigan transfer, who was the starter last year for Michigan at different points of the season. So I think the quarterback position is wide open. I like Joe Milton's upside. I think he brings something to the table that matches what Josh Heupel wants to do. You know, you have a couple guys that have been here, and then you brought in a transfer from Virginia Tech and Hendon Hooker. So it's going to be a nice battle in fall camp to see who's going to be the guy. But I'm willing to say it's going to be someone new, someone that just joined the roster. I think that will be my safe pick.
Harrison Bailey here in Metro Atlanta, people that followed the college football and high school football knew all about him coming out of Marietta High School here in Metro Atlanta. Is this not a good fit for him? He signed on for a different scheme, and now he's in the middle of this air raid. What are your thoughts on Harrison Bailey?
I mean, Harrison works his tail off. You know, he works his tail off. I don't think physically he's as talented as some of the other guys in that room, but he works his butt off. He does everything he's told to do. And Harrison just needs to continue to work on just process information as fast as possible. And that's what the SEC is about. I mean, you're going to have line stunts. You're going to have coverages where people are trying to disguise things. You have to make sure your guys are lined up. And then you have pre-snap, and then you have a post-snap read. And you have to dissect what the defense is doing and what your guys are doing in a split second. And so for young quarterbacks, sometimes – you know, when they don't have the physical tools, they got to be really good at those things. I think Harrison Bailey's coming along at those things.
What about the expectation for the wide receiver group this coming season? It's been some turnover. We got some of the guys coming back. This is a fastball right down the middle for you here. What do you expect out of Jalen Hyatt and Velus Jones and Cedric Tillman this season?
I mean, I expect them to have some big-time games. I mean, you have a nice group of guys that do different things. I think in the last couple of years, you had, you know, Callaway and Palmer and Juwan Jennings on one team, and those guys did some fantastic things. But you didn't have a lot of variety. I think with this group, they have a lot of variety. And the question is, can they be tenacious? Can they have that attitude, that dog mentality, like a Juwan Jennings and that killing, you know, instinct, like a Marquez Callaway when the ball's in the air? And it's the reason why he was undrafted, but he, you know, started several games for the New Orleans Saints. So this group has to prove that they're mentally tough, physically tough, because they have all the talent in the world, got a lot of speed, and they just got to go out there and prove it. They'll get plenty of opportunity, that's for sure. They'll have a lot of plays ran.
Yeah, they're going to put up some big numbers. I've been a long-time follower of Tennessee volunteer football. In fact, coming out of high school, I was seriously considering becoming a volunteer too. I'm going to name my top three all-time Tennessee wide receivers, and I want to put you on the spot and ask you to do the same. I've my top three at Tennessee, I got Willie Gault, Peerless Price, and Jason Swain.
Oh, man, that's flattering, man. I don't even have myself in the top 25, man.
So, look, let's put you on the spot here. Let me hear your top three all-time Tennessee receivers.
I go Carl Pickens. I go Joey Kent. Who do you go with? You know, Willie Gault or Peerless Price or Jermaine Copeland? I mean, the third one's hard. I go Peerless Price just because – I grew up watching him, and when I got to Tennessee, I studied his film a lot too. So I'll go Peerless Price. This is my third one.
Yeah, Robert.
It's hard.
Your buddy Meacham wasn't bad either.
No, he was a good one too. But just pure wide receiver guys, like, you know, just with technicians, and those are the guys I kind of look at more than guys that have a bunch of stats. I look at the pure, you know, execution of what it takes to be a good receiver. And those guys are pretty dang good at doing those things. So the tough thing about picking out the top three receivers is really tough to do at Tennessee.
No doubt.
Because there's so many good players. So.
Yeah, my dad used to say Larry Sievers was good. I didn't get a chance to see
him. That's a legend, too. Mm-hmm. Might be one of the best ones, you know, one of the top three best ones. So many to choose from.
All right, now, Jason, it's time for the big three.
Let's roll out the big three.
All right, number one, what was Fulmer's secret to success? What was the best thing Fulmer did as the head coach?
Letting his assistants do their jobs. I mean, he did a good job of being an overseer and playing the role, but letting his coaches coach. I think, you know, the previous coaches that Tennessee has had, they failed at doing that. Ego can get in the way. You know, when you're making a lot of money, you got a lot of power. You know, you want to have your hands on everything. I know Will Muschamp did that his first time at Florida. But, you know, you're hiring guys, you're paying them $1 million plus. Pay them and let them do the job. So I think that was the best thing that Coach Fulmer did.
All right, number two, what was more satisfying, beating Alabama or beating Georgia? And I think when you were on campus, you did a lot of both.
Beating Alabama. I'm from Alabama. You know, my recruitment wasn't a normal, typical recruitment. So, you know, I picked Tennessee during a time when, you know, Tennessee was – Coach Fulmer was target number one for Alabama because of their recruiting scandal, and they were put on probation, and Tennessee's, you know, was getting blamed for that, especially Coach Fulmer. So, obviously, I was kind of, I guess – in the way of some friendly fire there, you know, towards, you know, Tennessee from Alabama folks, and I kind of caught it. So it made that much sweeter to play those guys and beat them. So Alabama for me.
All right, number three. This is sort of outside the box question here. Okay. Picked it at random, just pulled it out of the hat here. The biggest challenge for you in your athletic career, and how did you overcome it?
Injuries. Because, you know, when you are competing each and every day against guys who are just as fast as you and strong as you, athletic as you, you know, when you get injured, I mean, you can't compete, you know, and you feel like you're losing your spot. And it's really hard to, you know, see your guys playing when you're hurt. It takes an emotional toll on you and a mental toll on you. So I think athletes are, you know, great at, you know, playing while they're hurt, and but when you really, really are injured and you can't play anymore, that's tough watching your guys battle and you can't go with them. So I would say that's probably the biggest thing for me.
Former Tennessee wide receiver and current Vols insider, get that Jason Swain app and get all the Tennessee information you want coming into this football season. Jason, we appreciate your time and insight today, man.
Okay, thank y'all. Have a good one.
Bucks beat. There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
far as the Georgia Bulldogs go, the SEC's competition is lacking right now. The big-time showdowns in the West, well, they don't exactly take place in the East, and it's because the East has a couple of programs in transition right now, and they happen to be two Georgia rivals. You've got the South Carolina Gamecocks in transition with new head coach, Coach Beamer, in charge now. And then the Tennessee Volunteers, we just broke down with Jason Swain, in transition with Josh Heupel taking over. You add Auburn to the mix on Georgia's schedule with Brian Harsin taking over for the Tigers. They're in transition also. So this makes the path for the Bulldogs, I would say, a little bit easier this year, getting to the SEC championship game and staying in the mix for the college football playoffs. The Gators are the only legitimate hurdle for Georgia in the SEC East. Kentucky, Missouri, Vanderbilt, their W's. The Vols and Gamecocks, W's. Beat Florida and Jacksonville, you're into the SEC championship game against Alabama, maybe Texas A&M or even LSU.
Coach O's down there. He's got a championship team at Baton Rouge.
So we'll keep an eye on them. Basically, what I'm telling you is life is good for Georgia in the SEC East right now. After this showdown with Clemson to start this season, the Bulldogs have an opportunity to develop young talent until Jacksonville. Now, that's going to go unspoken. You won't hear Kirby talking about this in the media. It will be quiet. It'll be on the down low. But Georgia, with an excellent opportunity after the epic season opening showdown against the Tigers, have a really good chance of developing some of this big-time, highly rated talent that they've got a chance to coach up. Mims at left tackle comes to mind. These young cornerbacks like Ringo, young players at wide receiver at that position. They've got a unique opportunity here to develop this talent during the season. Georgia's 2021 season boils down to three games. Clemson, Florida, and probably Alabama in the SEC title game. Now, two of those are really big hurdles for the Bulldogs, especially the Crimson Tide. They've broken Bulldog hearts the last three times that those two teams have gotten together. But you know what? Maybe, just maybe, 2021 is different. Maybe 2021 is the year where Georgia is able to capture that national championship. That's going to do it for episode 21 of Bucks Beat. Remember to like and subscribe.
Subscribe to Bucks Beat and get the latest updates every week from the most connected guys in Georgia sports. Follow Buck at BuckBaloo8 on Twitter and check out all the fan podcasts at thepodcastpark.com.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.